Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go to line number one. Welcome to the show. We hear him on the first Friday of each and every month, Mr. Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. I'll give you that website once again. It's columbusconstruction.org. Hey, Dorsey Hager, welcome back. How are we doing, buddy?
Good. Good afternoon, Flash. How's everything there in Cleveland?
Oh, we're waiting for the tribe to take it all from Houston.
Playoff baseball is here as Kluber and Verlander are going at each other. This should be good.
This should be really good. I love it. One of the sports writers is saying it's a tribe in four games. I'm keeping my fingers crossed on that one.
Wow. Yeah, that's an aggressive pick. Yeah,
that's a very aggressive pick. Yes, it is. Yeah. There's no question. All right. Well, you got a lot on your plate. Let's get into the Alberta Building Trades Conference. What was this all about?
So to give you a kind of little pre-story to the conference, you know, about a year ago, we had a huge press conference with Mayor Andrew Ginther here in Columbus, then President of City Council Zach Klein, City Councilman Shannon Harden, who's now President of City Council, and it was a community benefit agreement that was negotiated on a fire station here in Columbus. It was the first of its kind with the City of Columbus and the Columbus Building Trades, and there were several issues at hand with that community benefit agreement that are near and dear to Mayor Ginther's heart. Obviously, local hiring, outreach to people in the community who maybe not have had the opportunity to get in the building trades. Some of the underserved population, you know, not only females, but also people of color, and in some of the underserved neighborhoods here in the city of Columbus, and also partnerships with Columbus City Schools to let kids know that there's opportunities there and somewhat very lucrative opportunities in the building trades to get them on that direct path to the middle class where they can make a nice middle class wage with great benefits and income. So the city of Columbus taped, videoed, I don't know what term you use in the 21st century, I guess, videoed that, streamed it online on the internet. We were able to use it, put it on our website, social media, Facebook, Twitter, also put it on our YouTube channel. So in August, I got a phone call from Terry Parker, who's head of the Alberta Building Trades, and one of his delegates, Scott Crichton, and they called and they said, hey, we're watching your press conference on community benefit agreements. Can you send this community benefit agreement you're using with the City of Columbus? And, you know, I get calls like that quite frequently now, so I didn't think anything of it. I emailed it off, and then a couple hours later, they call back, and they're like, we've read this. They're like, we have a Alberta building trip at the end of in Alberta, and before I saw where this was, I agreed to it, but that was okay, too. And they said, would you like to come out and speak about community benefit agreements, what you're doing with recruitment and stuff, and diversifying the trades in Columbus and Central Ohio? And I thought, heck, you know, who's going to pass up a free trip to Canada? So hell yeah, I'm all over that. With one stipulation, I said, you know, I don't have to speak French, do I? And they said, no. They said, actually, we would prefer you do not speak French. So I got to go up there, got to give a presentation, and I'll be honest with you. A 3-hour flight to Minneapolis, a 2-hour flight to Edmonton, then a 4.5-hour drive to Jasper, Alberta, Canada, this beautiful, beautiful lodge that they have their yearly conference at in the Rocky Mountains in western Alberta. Absolutely stunning. But I pull in late, you know, the night before I'm to present, and I check in, and, you know, I really hadn't, you know, I was prepared, but it wasn't like I was studying for the bar exam or anything, I guess is what I'm saying. But I get my program, and I see Sean McGarvey's there from, you know, National Building Trades. I see that the Labor Secretary for Canada is there presenting, and I see that the Premier of Alberta, Rachel Notley, is also there to talk about community benefit agreements. And I'm like, I might want to turn in a little early tonight and get a good night's sleep and step it up a little bit tomorrow. But I was able to present, talk about what we're doing here with community benefit agreements in Columbus and Central Ohio, also talk about our pre-apprenticeship program, Building Futures, which, albeit even though it's still in the pilot phase and we've had a speed bump here or there, we've had some great successes as well. So I was able to present on that, talk about that a little bit, and it was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. I really want to thank Terry Parker and Scott Crichton from the Alberta Building Trades for giving me that opportunity, and it played in well to the theme of their conference. Because at the end, there was a large dinner, and, you know, like I said, Rachel Notley, the premier of Alberta, was there, and she has just been elected after about, I think, 45 years of conservative rule. The new Progressive Party has taken over provincial government in Alberta, and she is all over these community benefit agreements, local hire, opportunities for underserved population, particularly in Alberta, you know, the large indigenous community that they have, getting them into the building trades programs. Because in Alberta, it's a little bit different here than what we're dealing with in Central Ohio and I think throughout the state. You know, I told them that the unemployment rate in Franklin County was 3.2%, and they were in awe. Unemployment in Alberta is kind of high right now. The economy's down. A lot of the work in Alberta is in the oil sands projects in northern Alberta. A lot of that work has slowed to a halt because of gas prices and stuff. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, America, we didn't build the XL pipeline, and they had huge plans on being able to, you know, to ship oil with that XL pipeline, go through the XL pipeline down to the Gulf and be able to ship that all over the world to sell their oil. So that's been an issue too. So they're looking at ways to get their people to work, but also recruit, diversify, get local people to work. And what the premier of Alberta wants to do, Premier Notley, is she wants to use a community benefit agreement on a pilot project, which I think is a bridge. It's about a $170 million bridge, because, like I said, the conservative government has been in control there for 45 years prior, and there's a ton of infrastructure that needs to be done, roads, bridges, highways, and stuff. And then if that pilot works well, which she anticipates that it will, then she wants to look at negotiating a blanket community benefit agreement for the province of Alberta to be used on all infrastructure projects.
So I get from the conversation that there's a lot of work that needs to be done because the previous government kind of kicked the can down the road a little bit.
Absolutely. Ton of work to be done. That's the one similarity that they have there in Alberta that we have here in the States. You know, there's a lot of highways, there's a lot of roads, you know, that can be built, but also that need to be maintained a little bit better. And there's a lot of bridges that need to be maintained, upgraded, or maybe even replaced. And I think that she's doing that right now and going through and seeing what all needs to be done because it's been ignored for so long. And she wants to take the opportunity to do it now. Mm-hmm. While, like I said, the economy's in a downturn. You know, there's building trades members that are looking for jobs, and she has the people to put them to work to be able to do that.
See, that's just the opposite. Well, right now, our building trades members are pretty much at full capacity. So, but they've got jobs that need to be done. So that's a great opportunity, and that could definitely bring down the unemployment rate. That's wonderful.
Absolutely. And they had members from throughout Alberta discussing, you know, things that they've done with community benefit agreements and also pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship readiness programs. So like I said, that was the big theme of the week. And it was very interesting to be able to talk about it. And I'll tell you one little side story that I told some of our officers here that they got a kick out of. So let me tell you this. I didn't realize this at first, but Terry Parker, the head of the Alberta Building Trades, is a painter by trade. Mm-hmm. And he was up at the podium with me at the end of my presentation, and he asked if I mind taking some questions, and of course I did, you know, and I was getting a lot of questions from people. And I said, listen, I said, you know, we don't have it all figured out yet. I said, we're making mistakes every day, but we're learning just like you guys are gonna learn. I said, we've had ups, we've had downs, we've had successes, we've had failures. And I said, and I'll give you an example of one of them. I said, we had a young man who came through our Building Futures program, didn't have his high school diploma. We were able to help him get his high school diploma, his GED. He went to work for the painters. He was doing a great job. He was making a good wage. They were paying him over apprenticeship rate because he was doing such a good job. But then after 3 months, he just decided that it wasn't for him. So when we talked to him and asked him, you know, what it was, he says, well, he says, I just didn't realize how hard you guys work, and this is hard work, and, you know, I don't want to do this. And I made the comment. I said, geez, I said, is there any painters in the room? And, of course, a couple raised their hand, including Terry beside me, but I didn't know that. And I said, wow, I said, I've been on job sites. I didn't think painting was that hard of work, so, but I guess it is. But I still got my my gift to go on the road. Terry wasn't that upset, but I thought it was pretty funny. So.
All right, Dorsey, let me take a quick break here. We'll get into the building trades pilot boot camp and also a minority contractor outreach that you're doing. It's all part of America's Workforce. Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades, also on the show a little bit later on. Pemmel Levy is going to talk about the prosecutor hired by the Republicans to question Brett Kavanaugh. Did she really do her job? It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the issues most important to Ohio's labor trades than in the pages of the Labor Citizen. The full-color tabloid is delivered to thousands of union construction workers each month, providing reports from local unions, interesting feature stories, and news that impacts Ohio's union construction industry. But the only way this valuable monthly publication can be delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trades union membership is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com.
For over 20 years, organized labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for its communications and events needs because the BMA Media Group knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to market union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit www.bmamedia.com.
For a quarter of a century, America's workforce has helped empower the union movement. I'm Terry O'Sullivan, General President of LIUNA, the Labor's International Union of North America. From the strong, proud, and united brothers and sisters of LIUNA, we wish you congratulations on your 25th anniversary.
Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Before we get back to Dorsey Hager, two things I want to mention. We were talking yesterday with Rick DeShant of Tri-C's Veterans Initiative, and there is still time if you want to see a pretty cool performance. Tri-C's Performing Arts Season is premiering Modern Warrior Live. That's tomorrow at the Ohio Theater in Playhouse Square. 7:30 is the show. Tickets in advance. You can do this right now just by going to playhousesquare.org. $25 to $30 in advance. And if you're a vet, you know a vet, this is definitely for you. That's tomorrow night, Modern Warrior Live. Also, we had Kevin Corrigan of the prestigious law firm Kelly and Ferraro. And if you missed that show, and you're a union worker that's dealt with asbestos, check it out. Check it out because, and bring up Dorsey here on line number two right now. Dorsey, you might want to pay attention to this too, because Kelly and Ferraro, they have a mobile testing unit. They go to union halls and they test workers exposed to asbestos. It was quite fascinating.
Wow.
And they're doing it not just in Ohio, they're doing it all around the country. This mobile van, they could tell it just takes a couple of minutes. It's an X-ray, and they've dealt with a lot of retirees, you know, because they banned asbestos years ago, but it's still out there. You know how that is.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
what an incredible service for our members. That's awesome that they do that.
Yeah, here's the phone number. It's 216-575-0777. 575-0777. Kelly-Ferraro.com is a website, and the guy we had on yesterday, Kevin Corrigan, is a business manager, and I didn't realize they were doing it, and they're doing it very successfully, and they go after the companies, Owens Corning, not the employers, but the companies, and there's been lawsuits on this for years. In fact, they've got like 40-some thousand people that they've dealt with over the years, so it's an ongoing story. All right, let's get back into the subject here. You wanted to talk about the Building Trades Pilot Boot Camp. What's that all about, Dorsey?
So one of the people that's helping me with our Building Futures program is really doing a lot of the outreach and stuff and a lot of the day-to-day. The work is Julie Moncieski. She's the outreach coordinator for IBW 683. So it was about a year ago, I think we were having lunch, and we kind of came up with this concept that it seems like there's a lot of kids that go from middle school to high school, especially in Columbus City Schools, which is our largest school district in our area. It's about 60,000 students. And a lot of kids really don't know what they want to do. They haven't been exposed to a lot. You know, obviously they're told that they have to or they need to go to college if they want to, you know, if they want to make that middle class income. But I think a lot of kids nowadays are smart enough to know if they can afford college or if their parents can afford to send them to college. So what we came up with the idea is let's do, and we're going to do it next year on a 2-week trial basis, but let's do a 1-week class, 8 to 3. Let's try one middle school. We'll take 25 kids from one middle school that's going 8th graders into 9th grade. We'll bring them to the IBEW Training Center. We'll expose them in labs to all the different trades, the carpenters, the electricians, the pipe fitters, the painters, the glazers. We'll have the bricklayers and the cement masons come in, let them mix some mortar, let them build some brick walls, maybe lay a concrete pad or something. But just show them what every trade does, what every trade has to offer. Let them get their hands dirty, let them work and see what it is. And then at the end of the 1 week, explain to them, you know, the type of money that can be made, the benefits that are there, the type of training, the type of education you need to be able to get into these apprenticeship programs and the apprenticeship programs and pre-apprenticeship programs that we offer once they graduate from high school, to try to let them know that this opportunity is there and this opportunity is available for them. So that way, when they start their freshman year of high school and they're meeting with their guidance counselor and they're starting to make decisions on what they want to do after high school, you know, they'll know that if they want to be an IBEW 683 member, an electrician, that they're going to have to take algebra and they're going to have to take geometry and they're going to have to take algebra too. They're going to know that if they want to be an insulator or a bricklayer or a carpenter, they're going to have to take geometry. So that way that they're prepared when they graduate from high school and they're ready to step right into one of our pre-apprenticeship or apprenticeship programs. But also I think it does, it's good due diligence on our behalf, and it's educating members of the community to let them know about the opportunities in the building trades and the building trades careers that they may not know because they may not have family members or friends that are involved in the building trades.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people have the misconception, well, we don't need a geometry, we don't need all that math, we don't need all that science. It's a whole different world today. I mean, think about project managers on a job today. The trades are much more sophisticated, and that it's across the road too. I mean, you even look at the auto mechanics today. You practically need a college degree to figure out how to fix a car, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Machinists, a lot of the manufacturing jobs in Ohio now, it's amazing that how much technical training is involved in some of the just, you know, day-to-day work that's being done. And, you know, you really need that good math background to be able to prepare yourself for some of those careers.
That's what you want to do. All right, let's move on to the Minority Contractor Outreach event. I know you and I have talked about this in past shows. What's the latest in this arena?
So, City of Columbus, our community benefit agreement, we're doing outreach events, partnering with the City of Columbus and Columbus City Schools. One of the outreach events that we're going to do, and it's October 23rd, it's in a couple of weeks, it's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., but all the contractors in Columbus, Central Ohio, that do work with City of Columbus and Franklin County, whether they be EDGE, WBE, SBEE, whatever, you know, when I go and I do outreach, there's a lot of contractors that come to me. We're talking about the shortage of manpower, and they're like, hey, you know, I just had to let this contract go because I couldn't hire enough painters, you know, on this hotel, or I had to do this because I couldn't find enough welders. And I think there's a huge misconception out there about the cost of being a union contractor. And a lot of these minority contractors are doing work at Ohio State. They're doing work for the City of Columbus. They're doing work for Franklin County. So what we thought of on our outreach committee with the City of Columbus is why not have these contractors come in, spend a couple hours with them, go through a presentation, let them know how easy it is to become a signatory contractor, but also let them know the benefits that are there for themselves and their employees. You know, there's no cost of maintaining a health and welfare fund because that's all done by the union. There's no cost for outreach and advertising. That's done by the union and the JATCs. There's no cost to the employer for training. And I think when you add up and show them the cost savings and also the ability to secure qualified manpower to be able to take on the projects that they want to. I think that they'll see ways that they can grow and increase their business and also maintain their business. And I think it's a good way for us to reach out to the minority community, the minority contractors associations, also small contractors and contractors in Columbus and Central Ohio to kind of grow our base to be able to put more people to work.
Well, this outreach, I know it's been in the works for quite some time. Are we getting any bites right now? Is it starting to take effect?
Yeah, we're definitely getting some bites. I'll give you a good example, and I cannot think of the name of the contractor off the top of my head, but we have there was a large Hispanic company here in Columbus and Central Ohio doing painting and finishing. They had about 50 employees, and again, the contractor, you know, he wanted to be able to sit down and bid work. He wanted to be out and go out and get work. He didn't want to spend time putting ads in the paper and interviewing painters and finishers and going out and recruiting people to try to paint and finish. So he worked with Chris Nagley, the lead rep here for IUPAT, the painters here in Columbus, and they were able to sign a contractor there and put bring in about 50 members to their union. So it worked out really well, and Chris did a phenomenal job with them. Phenomenal job. But like I said, as we do these outreach events and as I go around the county, you know, I have contractors come up to me all the time. You know, I'm needing painters, I'm needing plumbers, I'm needing welders. What can I do to find people? And I tell them, hey, we have the qualified people that you need. All you got to do is become a signatory contractor. So
what about in the schools? I mean, we're in October right now, and I'm just wondering if more schools are getting – I'm talking high school levels here, not the career centers, and they've gotten away from shop classes over the years. I'm just wondering if there's more direction into the trades because of the demand right now. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of that. I know that we meet regularly with the principal at Groveport High School. He's working on a program to be able to funnel his kids directly from high school into pre-apprenticeship class, especially kids interested in the electrical trades, interested in welding, interested in carpentry, you know, where there's a huge need, not only now, but it looks like there's going to be a huge need in the future. Insulators, the insulation trade, you know. So we're starting to see more of that. I have a meeting with Mayor Tom Nealon next week. I think it's the third meeting I've had with him, where he's talking about that's another suburb where, you know, I think what a lot of these communities are seeing is that they graduate kids and they either go to college or they go work in the service industry. And unfortunately, the service industry, the wages have been beaten down so bad that it's very difficult to find a job that puts you in the middle class. So they want to find something for those kids that aren't going to be going to college to put them on that technical path to where they can be in the middle class. So, yeah, I think you're starting to see the conversation change more. And I think people are starting to realize also, like you said, that, you know, there's a lot of opportunities in the trades, and it's not just, you know, digging ditches with a shovel or whatever. You know, there's really some high tech in all of our trades now as technology has kind of increased, you know. So it's very different, I think. And I think a lot of parents are starting to see that too. And the big appeal, obviously, is tuition free, you know, that the kids can go and learn a trade, make a good living, and it's all tuition free. You don't have that college debt.
Well, there's this perception it's like digging ditches or working in a dirty environment, you know, and it's still out there.
Yes, exactly. And that's why, a lot of these outreach events that we're doing, we're having them at some of our training centers. And, you know, IBW 683 is a perfect example, the Electrical Trade Center. When you walk through there, you know, you see a lab where they have walls and studs and people are bending conduit, you know, because that's a big part of their trade. But they also have a huge computer lab, too. And you'll have parents that'll be like, well, what are the computers for? And we explain to them that how, you know, laptops, iPads, computers play a big part of the trade now, and how that their members have to be trained to keep up with technology. So, you know, it's not just bending conduit. It's not just pulling wire. There's a lot of other aspects to the trade.
There's a whole lot more to it. All right, we got about a minute left. I take it you watched the Browns game last week.
I did. Yeah, I did watch the Browns. And I mean, first of all, the Jets game, I want to say this, you know, first win in 2 years. That was awesome.
Yep.
And I told you, I was at the last win, Christmas Eve. You know, I was at the last win. But But, you know, that was so great and such a wonderful feeling that I think we should try it again this Sunday. Why not try to win one again this Sunday? Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be. Let's get the right refs there, okay?
Oh, the first down, some of the.
Oh, God, that was horrible.
Just terrible. But I am going to say this, and I did say this at the beginning of the year. I want to see them win. I want to see them do well. But no matter what their record is this year, this team and this roster overhaul is vastly improved, and it seems like John Dorsey is trying to really change the mindset of the roster. And some of the, you know, not only do we have some good players, but they're also good people.
Uh-huh.
You know, Jarvis Landry, Carlos Hyde, you know, the draft picks, Baker Mayfield, Denzel Ward. So, you know, I think there's a tremendous opportunity there for the organization to keep moving forward. And we finally learned how to win a close game. We've got to keep that up. We've got to put a couple more notches in the win column. But what did I see today? The average score of the game so far has been 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've been in every game. You got a young team. You got a lot of guys that aren't used to winning and maybe don't know how to win. And once they develop that, I think they're going to be ready to go. But, yeah, like I said, that feeling a couple weeks ago was awesome. Let's see if we can experience that again this Sunday. That would be great, too.
There you go. All right, buddy. We'll leave it on that note. Dorsey Hager, Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades Council. You take care. We'll talk to you in a month, my friend.
I'm going to take care. I'm going to take my laptop into the conference room. Got the big 60-inch monitor in there. Going to turn on the Klubot and Verlander, Indians, Astros, game one. Playoff baseball is here. Go try.
There you go, buddy. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Pamela Levy, Mother Jones Magazine, on Brett Kavanaugh and the prosecutor that was hired to question him. Back in a few minutes, you are listening to America's Workforce.